Welcome to Hustle & Glow's first call in July 2013, and this is actually a rebroadcast of the call that we had on Saturday, July 20th. A bit of a technical difficulty on my end. The recording feature didn't really work on our free conferencing call, so I'm going to have to make this into an MP3. Not a problem. Everything's still fresh in my head, so I can still certainly talk about the topics that we talked about. And if you refer to our Facebook group, there is wonderful links on Simon Sinek, which basically this morning's talk is about. Simon Sinek wrote a book about how to create and know your why. And it's a great story about how we all really resonate with people that understand why they're doing what they're doing. So we're going to go into a bit of that. There are four topics that I want to cover here today. And one is know your why. The other we're going to be talking about is riding your why. The third one is Living Your Why, and the fourth one is actually Simon Sinek's entrepreneur story, and I really, really love that story. It really speaks about how we all sort of think about where what we want to do, where we want to go, and you know how he did it, how he started it. So I want to give that as the end inspiration to this particular talk. Now, Know Your Why is a book that Simon Sinek wrote years back, and actually in 2011 I saw him and got his book in a conference called Rich, Happy, and Hot, and it was in New York. It was a Marie Forleo talk that she had, and or a conference that she had, and he basically spoke about knowing your why, and there's a link there actually. It's very similar to the what the TED Talk is on the actual Facebook page. So if you see his TED Talk, it's almost verbatim what he was talking to us about. And essentially, knowing your why is about really thinking of how and why we buy offerings or products. And he had this really great example about Apple versus Dell. Dell would say, you know, when they're, you know, sort of getting or selling their computer, they would really bullet point what their features and benefits were. Hey, it's a great computer. It's really reliable. It has, you know, this particular software on it. And, you know, it's functional. Would you like to buy Dell? It's basically, that's the whole pitch. It's nothing really sexy about it at all. It's just very dry cut features and benefits, bullet points. And as opposed to the total difference of what Apple is, and Apple talks about really their philosophy and their core philosophies in their particular business. So they would share about, you know, how we're so different from the status quo. We want to be able to, you know, have a particular computer that will be functional, yes, but we're doing it to push our edges. We're pushing our boundaries. We're pushing the technology. We're always going to be innovative. You know, would you like to buy our computer? And there are a lot of different sort of philosophies why people would buy Apple. Simon believes that it's not the actual frame by, like if you do frame it side by side on what the features and benefits are, there's going to be more Apple buyers than there is going to be PC. And it's so funny because I was just thinking about it. Mashable.com just had a feature article, I think it was last week, about how the PC is dead. And it's really talks about how the Apple laptops have really just taken over. And a lot of people are not doing personal computers anymore. They're doing just the laptops. Everybody's more mobile and they're using something like that. And how they really revolutionized, even with their iPad, on how they really revolutionized how we see innovation and computers so differently than we did, you know, 5-10 years ago. So it was an interesting article. And it really talks about, also what Simon talks about in particular is the differentials between a Dell customer and an Apple customer. If you ask a Dell customer why they bought it, they're going to just basically talk about, well, you know, it had all the features and benefits that I liked. And, you know, it's almost a reluctant sale. They really weren't behind the cause of that particular computer. They were just wanting something that was very functional, something that was very dry, maybe perhaps even affordable. The Apple buyer is really a distinctive buyer because they buy for what it can give you, the possibilities of what that is, and we don't even really look at the features and benefits. We just know that it is the thing to buy. And he even talks even more on a different scale, like the Apple products in particular. You know, how they just were very innovative, and with their iPod, you know, first started there. Well, it didn't first start there. They had computers first. But the innovation that we first noticed was there, as opposed to carrying 1,000 songs in your pocket. You know, we used to, like, have, you know, Walkmans and then a Discman. But it was limited to what we could carry in music. And this was, you know, such a bigger scale that we wanted that. And then, of course, the marketing, you know, the very distinctive earphones that come with that, the white ones. So if you're walking down the street and you weren't able to see what people were listening to, but you saw the white headphones, you knew they had an Apple. And now it's different. Everybody has the white headphones and everybody kind of jumped on board with that. But if you remember that time when people had those, you know, if you're walking in San Francisco or New York and you saw that on somebody, you know, in 1995, it was like the coolest thing ever. So, I was talking about just why they do what they do, how they show what type of lifestyle. So essentially, Apple has showed a lifestyle that you want to be a part of, as opposed to getting a product for features and benefits and that's it. We really tend to lean into what it is that they're offering, their lifestyle, their belief system. And it really, really talked about how we do things to really see if we're compatible in belief systems. And I thought that was really interesting because I believe it to be the same. And on the call, I was talking about how it's important to really, really hook on that belief system and getting the like-minded client, because it's so true. If we don't have a like-minded client, the success of that relationship, of that building relationship, is not going to go very far. If it's a one-time shop purchase buy experience, this is not that important. But if you're going to bring on a client that you're going to be working one-on-one with, it's so important. It's so imperative. Because if you don't, you know, things can go awry very, very quickly, and it could just get undone almost overnight. And it certainly was something that I experienced with my first client. It was a restaurant that I was working with, and we had total different belief systems, even different political belief systems. And it really played a part, the demise of our relationship. I had to fire my first client because we weren't in sync, and it was starting to be a battle between each other of who's right. And it was almost like a debate every time I walked into their office about why we should be doing things this way. And the funny thing was, they hired me as a consultant, as an expert in social media, and they weren't taking any of my opinions because they felt, and they were trying to emulate their beliefs, and actually they wanted to talk about their cause instead of engaging in their cause. So if you do statements where you're just talking repetitively about stuff and specials and events, but not really involving or engaging people, then you're just a talking sort of speaking to the void, and no one there is going to really bounce back. And social media is really about engagement. So eventually I had to fire them, and I would like to say that it ended gracefully, but it really didn't. It was one of those brutal, very uncomfortable meetings. And I had to basically tell them that we can't go forward. So it was something that I learned firsthand off a really big client. And I really want to have you guys think about that now and how it's going to affect your business. And one of the great things that I'm teaching you about trying to find your audience and your core customers is through Twitter. And the reason that you're able to do something like that is you know, when you're following somebody that you really, really believe in, and they already have their tribe, they have their core audience that resonates the same way they do, and you're following those people, what happens is that you're actually following like-minded people that are going to be in your ultimate sales funnel on Twitter. And there you go. There's your batch of customers. And it is an extension of your newsletter. So once you get your newsletter signed on, if you don't have one yet, get it as soon as possible, because you do want to start talking to your people about once a week, for sure. You're going to see an amazing sort of result with all of that. And I invite you to really start to do the newsletter. But really, when you're getting and grabbing those like-minded people on Twitter, you're able to build that cult following and engage them weekly through Twitter and talk to them, create relationships, you know, get that consultation in with somebody that has just found out about you, that they just follow. It happens to me all the time. I will follow somebody and they really dig on what I'm saying, and then they want to talk to me immediately. It's so great. So in our next session, we'll talk about scheduling for sure. Scheduling consultations is a really easy way to do it. But it's also a great way to really sort of shake out to see if that client is your people. Are they going to be able to really work with you? Are you compatible? Do you guys have the same belief system? Like, it's so imperative, because what happens is if you have somebody that's actually in your belief system and really resonates what you say, you do not have to prove yourself weekly to them. It's so easy. Once you have somebody that knows exactly, for instance, I mean, I know that you're listening, you absolutely believe in the power of attraction, because I sourced you out to make sure that you do. Now, if I didn't find you on Twitter, you're probably a word of mouth client. But before you were a client, that person I work with, I got from Twitter. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, that is the ultimate sales funnel. Twitter is, it's where it's absolutely at. And once you get that established and you make sure that you have the like-mindedness of that, and you're following people at a tremendous rate where you're getting 400, 600, up to 1,000 people per week, your total community is going to grow overnight. And it's so great. I really, really like that you're able to kind of have control over growing your own community. And the other part that I spoke to you on, or spoke about on the call, was I was recently published on Life by Me, and the article is actually below. And as you take a peek at it and you look at it, you'll notice something that's been really interesting. I've been kind of just been very cognizant of it rather recently, but I would say in about a year and a half, I've been writing in Twitter copy, which I didn't see coming. It's kind of funny. So each sentence that's in that article is meant to be a tweet. It has enough space where I can put a bit.ly link and I can put a hashtag in it, which is pretty darn phenomenal. I really think that if we were to able to write more of our blogs that way and really show that sort of content that way, we'll be able to just kind of get more traction, which I think is great. I just want you to check it out for sure. Look at all of those steps and check out to see how you too can write and copy. If you need any help, just contact me, email me, and I'll show you how to do it. There is a video that I've given you about slicing up an article. Once you start doing that enough times, naturally you'll start, writing and copy, which is great. I like it. So I would definitely think that you guys should check it out and see how you can apply it to your own Twitter and also to when you blog, how to do that successfully. Definitely invite you to look into that a little bit more. So, you know, that's the writing your why element that I was going to go into. Showing and exposing your particular like-mindedness to people is so imperative. Being a little bit more transparent in who you are. And there is a bit of a rub there about being professional and not being so personal. The thing is that most of us have female avatars, and a female wants to know the why, the absolute why in what we do. And so they can have that, you know, like, and trust factor. The quicker they have that, the more, the quicker you're going to have a customer there. So in particular, when I was, and I use this as an example a lot because it always just kind of comes to the forefront when I'm talking about this, when I did e-commerce for skincare and we were doing skincare consultations for people, and they would call up and I would ask them just one simple open-ended question: what would you like to change about your skin? And they would inevitably sort of go away from their skin condition or what's going on, and they would go into their personal life. I'm going through a divorce. I'm drinking a little bit more than I should. I'm not eating very well. And just by those hints, I know that she's dry in portions of her face. She may have some breakouts towards her chin area because that's a hormonal area. She might look a little older than what she actually is because of the dehydration and can actually simulate dehydration wrinkles. And they're actually not permanent, but they can show up that way. She may even have problems with circles under her eyes. So just by hearing that, I can actually see that. And a lot of people that are my clients also are probably running a list of what is you know, wrong or internally with her. So I have a lot of wellness people, a lot of wellness practitioners that are actually my clients. So I'm sure your head was ticking along when I said that about what we needed to change with her. And also the hydration factor. I'm just talking in total skincare perspective. She needs to drink a lot of water and to have a hydration product and a moisturizing product and an exfoliating product. And not to mention eye cream would also benefit this client. So once that's her why of why she was sourcing you out in the first place. And what I would actually do, because I was like crazy having like-minded clients, you know, flood and contact me and talk to me. I mean, that was something that I had experienced not too long ago. I was going through my divorce and it was awful. My dad totally resonated with these women. And so I would actually send them as a bonus, like burned CDs of like The Secret and other things that were powerful meditations I would send with their products. And I really start developing a relationship with them and checking in on them. It was actually fun to, like, you know, a part of sales is that you have to, especially with a recurring product, you have to check in. So I would set my schedule to check in with them about 6 weeks. And I was able to really sort of bullet point what they were going through, what their skin condition was, and the emotional condition they were. And we would just kind of work off of that. So it was a great sort of way to kind of just show your why in a sense of who I was as a salesperson and that I was invested in them to get better and to make sure that their skin was changing the way they wanted to so they can feel better about themselves and they can move forward. So that was something that I, you know, definitely wanted to do. And they felt it. They felt that sincerity. So that is something about, you know, knowing your why, writing your why, and now we go into living your why. One of the wonderful things about Hustle and Glow is that I really believe wholeheartedly that is the lifestyle that I want to lead. So if I'm working on something that's a bit technical and it's frustrating, I'll go ahead and leave. I'll just bail out. And that's something that I teach you guys. Like, you know, I have one client that is lovely, and she actually goes and rides her horse when she's getting, you know, stuck in it. When you're just gripping on that computer and you've been there for an hour and you're not getting a result and you're just staring really hard. Like, that's the time to, well, not you will learn to not wait an hour, but that is, you know, when you're getting frustrated, it's the time to leave. You know, for me, it's about, you know, taking long walks, booking that massage sometimes. What works really well for me too is getting that frustration and going to the gym and listening to music. And I actually go just to listen to music and pair it with cardio because it leaves some really good, you know, I get really good endorphins from it, and I get those great hormones that get released into my system, and I feel so much better for doing it. And I also have been, for some reason, I get like surrounded with like this huge, immense wave of gratitude when I'm doing something in cardio, when I'm listening to music, because I think about how many other people I really want to affect and how many people I want to go on the program so I can really, truly help them and continue to help the people that I'm working with. And it's just like this really cool, abundant, overwhelming, beautiful sort of gratitude rush that I get from doing it. So that is about living my why you know, definitely doing stuff that I teach is imperative. And you'll also know that you tweak it. I've noticed that I've tweaked mine tremendously. One of the things that I've noticed, like in the last 3 months or so, is that some people don't really know how to do a dance break. And I think it's only natural that we don't know, some of us, because when we're younger, we can dance anytime we want to as a teenager. And then when you're in your early 20s, you may even make a hobby of it and just go out and dance and have fun with that. And then something happens. Like, you know, as we get older, there's like, we have this sort of weird rationale. It's like, well, dancing, there's a time and a place for it. It's not now. And it's so silly because we shouldn't have let go of that in the first place. We really shouldn't have. You know, the time is now, and the place is wherever you're at. It always should be, you know, something that we do because we're able to get some of those great juicy hormones that we get a flood of, and it really helps boost our mood and really helps us just kind of go forward. It also helps with the creative process. The dance meditations that I've developed, they're a bit rough, right? You know, the first ones that I put out there, but I'm developing them to be a little smoother. And they're there to really just put a voice behind how it should be done, how to let go, how to revitalize yourself with it, you know, how to let go of not only the stress, but the thought, the bad thought that's reoccurring in your head, and just gently release it and really step into your pleasure zone and benefit from feeling good for that, you know, 4 or 6 minute song. And it's so great that I'm actually being able to develop this method a little bit more and show, you know, have that show up for a lot of us. And during the process and the program and the year, we're going to see a lot more from me in terms of some dance meditations. And I'll be sharing that on the mentorship group all the time. So you guys will always have access to that because it really is a pleasurable thing for me to share something like that. And you really kind of, you know, dance with you in a way, even though if it's just through a meditation, know that I'm right there with you. The last thing I wanted to talk about was Simon Sinek's Entrepreneur Story. And I think it's so great because it really speaks to about breaking the price barrier and knowing that his product was of value. When he first started this, you know, just speaking about knowing your why, he would speak about it to friends. And his friends would often say to him, oh my gosh, you know what? You have to talk to my friend who's starting a business. He totally needs to hear this. And so he would, oh, you'd be like, okay, sure. And he would talk to, you know, friends of friends. And it started to get bigger and bigger. And then one day, it's something like he had like a few friends asking him to, you know, share his wisdom. And he was like, you know what, having to get together and, you know, I'm charging like $25 a person. If you want to come, you know, comment and listen to it, that'd be great. You can bring a friend or whatever. So he did that. And he's like, yeah, that's pretty sweet. You know, I'm starting to make money off of it. That's kind of cool. And one day he was actually on an airplane and he was talking to some sort of executive, and his executive was totally like over the moon with this concept. It's like, you know, what are you doing this afternoon? I'd love for you to meet my boss. And he followed this stranger to his office, and his boss heard his pitch about knowing your why. And he just went, oh my gosh, I want you to speak to my team. What are you doing this afternoon? How much do you charge for a lecture? And it just came out of his mouth. It's like $1,000 for an hour. It's like, just like leaped out of there. And it was so great because he was kind of shocked he said that, but he was like really firm and standing there and being really confident with just saying that price. He landed up doing it, and he then launched his speaking career. He started writing his book, and he made it into a solid business. That is flipping phenomenal. And it just speaks to what your business can be. And on the Facebook page, I went ahead and put those links of his book, his TEDx speech, which is virtually the same one that I pretty much saw, and also the link to his Audible book. And it's so great. One thing I like about Audible, it's actually the same company as Amazon, and it is an audio version of the book. Now, on this particular book, Simon Sinek actually speaks to it. So it's so wonderful to hear his inflections, his punctuations, and he really charges up some of the sentences that are really there for you to hear. And it's just a great way to really listen to the book, especially if you're really busy. I always recommend, you know, checking out to see if you can find the book on Audible. And I think on the call I mentioned that he's really nice to look at. So if anything, check him out. I think that he's quite handsome, and he's very sincere. And I remember when I just finished seeing him speaking, he had like a flood of women like run to him, like to try to talk to him. I don't know why. That was just so cool. I'm a people watcher, and I really like people. I like to see people. So that was really interesting to me to see how many women during that weekend would come up to him, because he was there for the entire weekend. And he also gave us the book. But yeah, he's very magnetizing, and you'll hear it in his voice. He's very, you know, he demands you to listen to him in a very nice way. Also, one of the good points in this book was talking about leadership, and he talked about that, about people wanting to be led, and if you're the right leader, they will follow you, and to really even look at, when you're developing your own team, to really know what it is to be a leader, to inspire, to be thankful, to show people what it is to really work with you, and almost do it from a place of gratitude and also inclusiveness. Once you do something like that, you'll definitely have a great employee. I think that I'm starting that now. I have a few members on my team, and the loyalty comes where as is measured by the gratitude that I have for them. And almost every job that I give out, I say thank you. I tell them how brilliant they are. I really show them how much I appreciate them. Small bonuses, sure, but I think that just saying thank you and understanding that whatever it is, a task was a little tedious that I gave them, and they did it with flying colors, like that needs to be mentioned and looked at. And the more that you do that, the more you develop your staff. And when you do a really good focus on staff development, especially in the starting stages, that person that you're starting out with can be, you know, in a couple years, your operations manager. And that operations manager is going to train everybody underneath that her or him how to do the systems that you put into place. And it's a wonderful thought of having somebody that's your operations manager, that's going to help you with your book tour, that's going to help you with your new program online, that knows, you know, your company's philosophy, that can easily translate that information to a new employee. So think about that as well. That's something that I wanted to put out there. I want you to also think, even if it's not on paper, just think of it floating in the air, what that employee looks like in 5 years from now. And just kind of scale back 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, and a year. And you'll notice the progression of where they're going to go. But think about and imagine how they're going to help you. Are you going to open a brick and mortar, you know, business? How does that look? Will that person be involved? Are you going to also write a book and you're going to need help in touring? What about your lecturing? Are they going to be able to really field in inquiries and then book those particular lectures? I think what's wonderful, I think I heard Dr. Wayne Dyer had said once that he gives 10% to his assistant who fields the request and actually closes the deal on the monetary salary that's going to happen, or the monetary payment of what that speech is going to be. So as he says, I get more and more abundant because she's always raising the prices and she knows she gets 10%. You know, let them work on your behalf. Let them be the root of your cause and trust them to be amazing in whatever it is that you do. And you will surely see that grow very, very quickly. Okay, so with that said, I'm going to go ahead and end this broadcast, and thank you so much for listening. And if you have any questions, just post it on the Facebook group, and we will see you there. Bye for now.